they say you don't have the pride, as much pride, until you move away, because it's tucked inside of you. I found that to be true when I moved here. I missed it. I missed Wisconsin. I missed Green Bay and Door County, and I missed being around the Packers. So that's why I did this here in Texas. I can walk up my steps and I can be in Green Bay. You know, it just evolved. You know, I had a vision of what I wanted. I built those cabinets out there. I built all the lockers in here myself. I had that vision that I wanted the old looking lockers in that room and the newer lockers kind of replicate the Packers' current locker room. The pennants, I have a huge passion for. Obviously, they have tons of pennants now that are mass produced, but a lot of the pennants I have are one of a kind. Just knowing that they're from the 60s, knowing that the players wore them, they're just cool. The wood planks on that bench were from the original Lambeau Field seating. Everyone just loves that. They love going through it. They're putting down new turf in the end zones, and I'm like, oh, I thought they just painted the end zones. But no, wonder what they're doing with those after. I'm always looking, and it's always evolving, and it's a sickness. I'll be honest, it's a sickness. I'll never be happy. If you grew up in Wisconsin even, I can't imagine the Packers not being in the fiber of your family, but especially when you're from Green Bay. I was born in Green Bay in 1960. My grandparents had a store on 9th Street, not too far from Lambeau. I'd be there on Sundays. I'd sit on the curb listening to the game on the radio, and I'd hear the crowd in the distance, and I'd know if the Packers were doing great or not. And of course, they were back then. They were always doing great. I was in awe of Art Starr. I mean, he was everything. My dream was that one day he'd drive in and need gas at my grandpa's gas pump, and I'd be sitting there, and I'd ask, hey, can you throw a few passes to me? Never happened, but a guy can have a dream. It was great times, just different. You know, my mom was, I would say, the one that really was the Packer fan. She instilled that in me, and I blame her for this madness, no matter how I look at it. When my mom was at Green Bay East High School, she was a majorette. She was a baton twirler. And Curly Lambeau happened to be at one of the games. And he thought, hey, I want to have a pretty twirler along with the gruff Packer Lumberjack Band. So he asked Wilner Burke, the longtime Packer Lumberjack Band director, to talk with my mom and see if she'd be interested in doing that. And of course she said, of course I would, you know, and I think she got $2 a game, but it was a thrill for her. When I got to a little bit more mature age that I was starting to absorb this stuff, I was like, Mom, you have to tell me some of these stories again. And she said, Glenn, my favorite story from back then is we're in the middle of World War II. Leather is impossible to get for boots. Well, some soldiers at Great Lakes Naval Base hear that the majorettes need boots, and they somehow find some white boots to send up to the majorettes. So there my mom is, all in a white outfit with red, waiting to go out at halftime. And it's a rainy, sloppy day at Old City Stadium. She says, the ball goes up in the air and it's coming right at me, and all of a sudden this receiver comes streaking across and grabs it, laying out, lands in the end zone into a huge puddle of mud, mud water, and it goes all over my mom. in her white outfit and brand new white boots. And I said, "Mom, what? Were you upset with the guy? Or, I mean, you were," and she says, "Glenn, it was Don Hudson. What was I supposed to say?" "Oh, okay, that's Don Hudson." In 1994, we went back to visit my mom and dad, and my mom gets out this big box of all of her treasures. She knew how much I loved the Packers, and she knew that I would be a good keeper of these mementos. And so I brought them back here to Texas, and I was like, "You know, we don't have a basement. If I put them up in the attic, they're going to fry." So I had no choice but to put them up on the wall in my office. And then I was like, "Well, wait a minute. I've got my electric football set from when I was a kid. I've got my old helmet from when I was a kid. I've got bumper stickers and pennants." So I started getting all my things together and started displaying them. And it kind of snowballed from there. It became a fun thing for me to bring me back. That main room was our rec room. We had a pool table in there and a TV. This room that we're sitting in was my son's bedroom.
What kind of buy-in or convincing did you have to do with your wife?
She is a peach, without question. A saint and a huge Packer fan. She was very supportive in that room, the main room. This room, there was a little bit of problem. This was my son's bedroom, and he went away to college, got his own apartment, and I was like, "Tom, do you mind if I pack your stuff up now that you're out?" And, "No, Dad, go ahead." Well, my wife goes to Europe for 2 weeks, and I am busier than a beaver, just taking the beds out, things off the walls. I have this vision that I'm turning this into the new locker room. And I do that while she's in Europe without saying a word, thinking this is going to be a big surprise for her. Well, it was a surprise. And I was surprised with tears because my wife didn't get the chance to say goodbye to her son's bedroom. So I've paid the price on that one. There's been a few more trips to Paris, trust me. My passion is pennants. They all tell a story. They're all from different times. You can see the leather helmets on them. This pennant here is probably one of the oldest. It's from the 20s. That one is so old it has a melon ball on it. Over here we've got a set of Super Bowl II pennants. This is the only set in the country. Back in here I've got Ray Nitschke's a 1968 player contract, and he was making $33,000 a year. One of my prized possessions here. I love Nitschke. He was a great player and signed by Vince Lombardi and Ray. The NFC Championship game against Carolina before the Packers went to Super Bowl 31, you see a lot of iconic pictures of Brett Favre hugging Reggie White at the end of the game wearing this coat. You'll see a number 4 at the bottom. This is Brett Favre's coat from that game. It's like an extremely fragile piece of leather here, but you can see Curly's signature right there. So cool to have this. These are these great Pro Bowl helmets that I spoke about earlier. You can see that the original Packer G is underneath the NFL crest and has been overpainted with gold ink. Incredible history. The first item that I remember getting was a Bart Starr sweater, the long sleeve cold weather sweater, because that's what I remember in my mind was Bart Starr out there calling the plays, steam coming out of his mouth, and you know, that's just iconic to me. I actually sent it to his office in Alabama and he signed it for me. That was definitely my first item. And from there, I got Ray Nitschke to do one, and then Paul Horning and Jim Taylor. So all my heroes from when I was a kid. Besides the Bart Starr jersey, that was one of the first items I got was a bobblehead, an original bobblehead. There's all different types of bobbleheads, but the amazing thing is that they're made out of almost a papier-mâché, terribly fragile material. 50, 60 years later, and they're still there, and their head still bobbles, and everything's intact. I built some very safe shelves up there to keep them all for prosperity. Growing up, I thought that was my mom because it's a majorette, and I was like, that's my mom, and she's got a white outfit on, and so I had to have one of those in my collection. I've got two sideline benches, one from the Ice Bowl. I was on one of the channels in Green Bay during Super Bowl 45. They came here to interview me, and somebody is watching, an insurance salesman up in Green Bay is watching, and he calls into the TV station. They call down here, get a hold of the reporter, and he calls me and said, Glenn, I don't know if you're interested in this, but this man has an Ice Bowl bench, and he's been hanging on to it forever. He saw your story. You're the one he wants to take care of this. And he said, would you be interested? And I was like, what? You know, and I said, without question. I'm at Lambeau Field with my son and my son-in-law, and we're at the Packer Pro Shop, one of the older ones. The store manager there says, hey, you two, you're nice big guys. Help me move this. I need to get this out of here. I was like, well, what if we move it right down to my truck? And she says, sold. So that thing took a ride from Green Bay down here to Grapevine. And everyone just loves that. The history in that thing is great.
Third down for Drew Bledsoe at the 22-yard line. Here's Drew, straight back in the pocket. Here they come again. Reggie got him again.
Reggie is wired. Right.
Here they come again. Oh. Reggie got him. Daddy goes.
That's the greatest move I've ever seen.
Here they come.
Reggie.
They got him again.
Three sacks for Reggie. Holy cow.
Here's one of the great pieces that I have. It's Reggie White's game ball that he was given at Super Bowl 31. For eclipsing the NFL sack record. And got this from the White family. Definitely means the world to me. I love having this football. It's hard to believe that this is what they used to wear, but this is the real thing here. You can see the gold paint right underneath here. These equipment bags are from the 1960s. They're original vintage bags. I've got them full of Packer shoes and footballs, probably just like they were in the 1960s. And they're very rare, very hard to find, and definitely a highlight of my collection here. Just acquired these not too long ago, and that's Jim Taylor's original game shoes. You can see it says number 31 on there. Great Packer history right there. You know, of all the things I have in my collection, it's funny. This is the thing that gets people going. They're like, oh, you have this end zone from the Super Bowl. And I guess it is kind of different.
Hines Ward in motion toward the formation and back to throw. Roethlisberger pump fake short. Airs it out deep. Left side going for Waddles. Intercepted on the underthrow by Collins. Right sideline to the 15 to the 10. Weaving his way to the 5. Leaping end zone. Hit the touchdown.
Nick Collins gets the ball, runs it in, kneels right down on the P, and I was like, I got to get this P for my collection. So the next day, I start making calls to the NFL. It's already been sold. So this guy's apparently cutting it up and putting it in little one-inch squares, selling it for $99. And I'm like, I got to have a 10 by 10 piece for this room. Of course, he was more than happy to sell me it. But I said, I've got to have the pea. And he said, do you know how big the pea is? I said, well, it can't be more than 10 feet. And he said, it's way bigger than 10 feet. And so I said, well, give me the top of it, because that's where Nick Collins knelt down. I don't know how many people have the end zone of a Super Bowl. I've been asked before, hey, a fire breaks out. What are you going to grab? I don't know. You know, this is the first thing. I'm going to grab my wife, run her out the door. I'm going to come back in. I'm probably not coming back out because I don't know. I don't know what I'd grab. My mom's things mean the world to me, obviously, but I've got two game-used Super Bowl II balls. I've got Paul Hornung's NFL Player of the Year trophy and Ray Nitschke's NFL Player of the Year trophy. I mean, I don't know what I'd do. So it's a problem. Here's one of the rare items that I stumbled across at a garage sale in Green Bay. And this is a Lambeau Field feasibility study showing that they actually thought about putting a dome on Lambeau Field to try to make it a year-round venue. A lot of people just cannot believe the horror of that, that we could have been like Minnesota. So I'm glad they didn't do that. Oddly enough, I never got to go to a game when I was a kid. My first game at Lambeau was in the 90s. I took my son, Tom. I still remember walking into the place. You know, you're walking through the area where they have concessions and stuff and everything's going fine. Well, we get to the tunnel and my son puts both hands over his eyes. And I'm like, Tom, what are you doing? He says, Dad, when I open my eyes, I want to remember this. And I was like, I taught him right. And so we both just love that day, and we think about it all the time. We fly into Milwaukee. We come up 43, get off to the Lambeau Field exits, come over the Fox River, and right as you're going over that bridge, we see, you know, and I get a lump in my throat. 57 years old, I'm a tough guy. I still get a tear in my eye every time I see Lambeau. I just love it.
Packer game day program.
Thanks, Sam.
There's nothing like it on game day. It's like a college game almost. It's so unlike any other stadium that I've been to. You can't describe it. Coolest thing is, everybody that I talk to from other teams, oh, I've got to get to Lambeau. And I'm like, yeah, you do, because everyone knows that that's where it's at.
He may go to the house, to the 10, to the 5, high-stepping, end zone, touchdown, Packers!
We absolutely love game day. I mean, it's unreal. One of the times that I was there that always stands in my mind was actually not a game. It was in July a few years back when Brett Favre was put in the Packer Hall of Fame.
At quarterback from Southern Mississippi, number 4, Brett Favre!
We were out in the bowl, and I've never heard Lambeau Field so loud, and grown men crying, women sobbing, and Brett sobbing.
I'm honored. I want you to know I celebrate this with you and my teammates in that room. We did it together. I thank you.
That was probably the highlight of many times at Lambeau. That was so cool being there for that. That place is amazing. A completely different level. I don't fool myself for a minute. One of my crazy dreams in life was to work for the Packer Hall of Fame, because I'd love to be involved in the display aspect and the history aspect of that. I respect that collection incredibly. You know, they have things that are just silly rare, and they should. That's where they belong. I know none of my children have room in their house for this collection as a whole, so someday I hope to see some of this stuff go to the Packer Hall of Fame, if I was to guess. You know, there's some key items in here I think that should be in there. I'll come up here several times a week, and I'll just stare at the walls. Sometimes I'm scheming, how can I possibly get anything else in here? Can I fit another shelf? Can I build something? That's going through my mind. Or I'm just looking, and I'm remembering the 60s. I'm remembering stories that my mom might have told me. A lot of times I'm just wandering around looking, and I'm like, wow, I didn't realize I had that. And because I, you know, so many years of collecting, you kind of forget what you have. One thing that I saw years ago, and if it came up, I'd buy it, one of Vince Lombardi's sideline coats. A pair of Bart Starr's game shoes were available years ago. There hasn't been a lot that I haven't come back around and found that I want. I'm always looking for pennants. I'm always looking for those, because that is a passion of mine. And I've got to believe that there's others out there that I don't have.